Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox Live, where the game lives on. It never dies. It is immortal. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. And with me is my good mate, Akshay Kumaraswamy, who you can find at YCricketY on Twitter. And we are here to review Kolkata's 4-wicket win over Mumbai at the Eden Gardens with 7 balls to spare. I want to start by talking about the surface, because I think this was a really good toss to win for KKR, and Rahane obviously opted to field first. I am no expert, obviously, because I haven't played cricket professionally, but from where I was sitting, Akshay, it seemed like it was tougher to bat in the first innings.
For sure. The rain also definitely played a role there. I think the power play was slightly tricky to begin with, which is why KKR opted to bowl first. And then the miseries were only compounded by the early loss of wickets, then the rain, and it just became progressively harder then.
Absolutely. And the guy who really rocked Mumbai Indians in the power play was Cameron Green. Finally coming good with the ball, removed Ryan Rickleton off his third delivery. And in the same over, off his sixth ball, he got Naman Dheer as well. And in the power play, he had figures of 2-for-17 in 2 power play overs and ultimately ended with 3-for-23. I think it was that over that really put Mumbai on the back foot as soon as the game started.
100%. Cameron Green was in top form, and exactly what we were talking about during the watch-along as well, right? He isn't too bad a bowler if used the right way, especially on the right surfaces. And today was definitely one of those surfaces where he was able to extract a bit of that extra bounce. He bowled good lines. Special mention to also Saurabh Dubey, who didn't do too badly, bowled extremely good lines and lengths in the power play. Bowled 3 overs for not too many, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I think he was really, really good in the power play. 2-for-22. In the power play, 3 power play overs, and then he went for some runs at the death. I was impressed with him. He's not a quick lad, but he did quite well in the power play. So those two guys combined to floor Mumbai Indians in the power play. 46-for-4 is where Mumbai Indians were at after 6 overs. If you compare that to KKR, they were 51-for-2. So 2 wickets better and 5 runs better as well. And if you look at the innings progression, I mean, Mumbai really didn't get going for the longest time. In 10 overs, MI was 64-for-4. KKR were 84-for-3. So 20 runs better and 1 wicket better. And then at the 15 over mark, Mumbai were what, 94-for-5. KKR were 118-for-4. Now, KKR could have finished this game earlier, but they chose to finish it in 18.5 overs. And Mumbai actually did really well in the final 5 overs, right, to get to 147-for-8. That was their fastest phase. They scored 53 runs in the last 5 overs and lost 3 wickets. But I think this game was lost in the first power play of the first innings.
Yeah, to be honest, not just that Tilak Verma-Hardik Pandya partnership also just went nowhere. Both of them, I mean, their struggles versus spin has been very well documented, and KKR did a good job of just exploiting that. Narine and Chakravarti, both of them combined to what concedes 41 runs of their 8 overs, if I'm not wrong. So very tight 8 overs in the middle phase right after that rain interval just meant that Mumbai weren't coming back.
And you know what? It was turning a mile for Sunil Narine. He was almost unplayable on the surface. There was lots of turn on offer. And if you look at the spinners for KKR, I think they just completely, you know, derailed Mumbai Indians in terms of scoring rate, because Anukul Roy bowled the first over, went for 6 runs. Sunil Narine, 1-for-13 in 4 overs. He probably should run away with the Player of the Match award. I don't know who they'll give it to, but I think he deserves it. And Varun Chakravarti, none for 28. So those three combined for 1-for-47 in 9 overs. And Mumbai ultimately score 147. So that's 100 runs in the remaining 11 overs. I think that's game, set, match right there. The spinners came to the party for Kolkata.
Definitely. And again, like we spoke about it, the rain didn't help. The fact that MI's batters in general tend to struggle against spin didn't help. And the fact that KKR have the best spin bowling unit in this season didn't help. So yeah, it was just the perfect storm.
Absolutely. We've got a super chat over here by Saswatosan. I'm sorry if I butchered your name over there. That's an interesting looking currency sign. I have no clue where you live. But Saswatosan says or asks, what were the odds after 7 games that KKR and Punjab ending up with the same number of points? LOL. Not on my bingo cards. Well, it is ridiculous how Punjab, their record after 7 games was 6 wins and 1 washout. And KKR were at like, what, 1 or 2 wins and 1 washout after 7 games? Something like that, right?
1 win, yeah.
Yeah, 1 win in 7 and there was 1 washout. So literally, their seasons have flipped. And KKR now have an opportunity or a chance to make it to the playoffs. They'll obviously require some favors. They'll want Rajasthan to lose so that they can get in on 15 points. Also, I don't know what the net run rate situation is between KKR and Punjab, who's higher. But if both of those teams end up on 15 points, one of them will miss out on net run rate.
That's true. And to be honest, again, just based on recent form, you would imagine that Punjab will struggle against a Lucknow Super Giants, who are a fucking good team, at least according to their captain. KKR, on the other hand, will be facing a high-flying Delhi Capitals themselves. It won't be easy, but you would imagine that should KKR win, I won't say the road is straightforward, but yeah, Rajasthan also has to lose their remaining game. It's slightly complicated, but they have done a good job. They have done a good job of resurrecting this season, which was down and out at the end of the first half.
Also, that's a Japanese yen. Berserk and Rakshit have informed us. I think the comeback story is on, but my gut says Rajasthan will just qualify. That's what I'm feeling. And I kind of want that too, because I want to see more of Vaibhav Suryavanshi. And I know I'm being selfish over here, so apologies to Punjab and KKR fans. But look, they've actually given themselves a shot over here, even if they're, you know, dependent on other results. But who would have even thought that KKR would be in this position? So good on them for fighting back, even though they are chaos central and today's chase was very annoying. I mean, it never ended. They fielded quite well. I know I'll get to that dropped catch in a bit. But Cam Green took a splendid catch, right?
Yeah.
He was really, really good with the ball and in the field. Not so much with the bat. But Tilak Varma was dropped by Varun on 12 of 22. Now, that didn't hurt KKR because Tilak ultimately goes out for 20 of 32. So, if anything, that's a tactical drop. But you'll have to go and watch the replay, guys. Varun Chakravarty, who's not known to catch anything. It's a catch off his own bowling. It's skied by Tilak. He actually gets to it. He's controlled the catch. He's caught it. And Ankrish Raghuvanshi headbutts him or spears him. And he lands and he drops it. And then that was the end of Ankrish Raghuvanshi's night as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much so. I don't know if that's when he walked off, but that definitely led to a slight injury. He did keep for a few more overs and then eventually walked off. But that was a very bizarre drop, that's for sure.
Yeah. But when it comes to bizarre drops, I think Mumbai Indians will take the cake tonight because, again, I really, really miss Rob Barron. First, we got the headbutt slash spear, which made Varun drop the Tilak catch. And then it just got more comical. So, Rovman Powell, batting on 14 of 9. He skies one. It's in the fine leg region, if I remember this correctly. And both of Robin Mins and Deepak Chahar are looking at each other while the ball goes for a one bounce four. I think it was Chahar's catch, but that was proper comedy. And first time I ever saw Robin Mins' face. And I would say the name matches the face. He's got that funk about him. But that's not where it gets like funny. Like this is part of the comedy. Corbin Bosch then doesn't even get to a catch in the slips when Rovman is on 17 of 13. It's Edge and Bosch, rather than going towards the ball, he goes away from the ball. So that's three very weird, very funny dropped catches in the same game. IPL 2026 for you, Akshay.
100%. And the last catch wasn't even a case of him anticipating it wrong. He actually took evasive measures. It was him protecting his face from the ball hitting it. And that's what made it even more funnier. It's one thing. It happens when you're feeling so close in. It happens that you anticipate the direction wrong. But yeah, he knew where the ball was coming. He was like, oh, wait, not my face. Yeah. I don't care about the catch. And Deepak Chahar, again, the thing was, Robin Mins was nowhere in the frame. He was well and truly away from Deepak Chahar. And Chahar had the ball coming. Just in the last moment, he decides to completely let go of that catch. I don't know. And classic, just classic deflection of blame. He just starts staring at Robin. Robin, being the younger bloke, the inexperienced bloke, doesn't know how to take it because, wait, I wasn't supposed to catch that.
No, so that Robin wasn't even perturbed. He was like, yeah, that wasn't mine. And Deepak's face was one to look at after, right? I'm not saying these catching opportunities would have won Mumbai the game, or maybe they would have, because KKR took literally 18.5 overs to chase down 148. Look, I think Mumbai actually bowled really well. Now, Deepak Chahar might have had that blunder in the field, but he was very good in his three power play overs. He actually got Finn Allen to chop on off his sixth ball after getting whacked for a couple, like some belligerent or bludgeoning shots on the offside. But 1 for 23 in his three power play overs was a good effort. Of course, the night ended badly for him with that dropped opportunity or non-drop. And then he also got like sliding tackle from Ryan Rickleton. When Rickleton takes an amazing catch, he hurts his knee as well. So had a weird night, Deepak Chahar. Corbin Bosch, who dropped the, or didn't attempt the catch in the slips, I would say, actually caught a screamer later on, catch of the game, to dismiss Rovman Powell, ultimately for 40 off 30. That was a brilliant catch, right? He was Mumbai's best performer today. 3 for 30 in 3 overs, and an unbeaten 32 of 18 with the bat. So I think Jared will have to maybe revise his thoughts on Corbin Bosch. He's been okay. He's been all right for Mumbai, man. They'll definitely think of retaining him even, perhaps.
I have traveled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things. The phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it, and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Oh yeah, he's genuinely been one of the only performers this season, both with the bat and the ball. He's time and time again sort of contributed or come up with decent contributions for this season. So far in three innings, he scored about 50, 60 crucial runs from what I remember. And in terms of wickets, importantly, he's taken 12 wickets. If I'm not wrong, he's the highest wicket taker this season.
Oh my God, is he? Well, yeah. I mean, he can crank it up, Corbin Bosch. And he was really troubling Tejasvi later on. I thought he'd kill him the way Tejasvi was just kind of getting out of the way and he even hit him in the head. And rough debut for Tejasvi, of course. But whilst maybe Corbin Bosch, he was Mumbai's best player tonight and he might be their leading wicket taker and he's chipped in with crucial runs. For me, Mumbai Indians' best bowler this season has been Allah Mohammad Ghazanfar. He ultimately dismisses Rovman Powell, but figures of 1 for 25, albeit in a game where spinners do well, like the Kolkata spinners were on fire, I think he was mighty impressive with his figures of 1 for 25. And even Jasprit Bumrah started off brilliantly. Yeah. Top first over, right? Brilliant stuff. Goes for a fair few runs in his second over, 3 boundaries to be specific, and he was none for 16 after 2 power play overs. Comes back and gets the wicket of the game. Manish Pandey is cleaned up with a nip backer from hell. There was, I think, 1.8 degrees movement off the seam.
That's right.
Off the deck, right? Ridiculous nip backer. Proper vintage Jasprit Bumrah. And he was cutting batters in half for fun. His 1 for 26 was also a solid, solid performance. And then Hardik also only concedes 13 runs in 2 overs. So, I mean, I know their season is done. But maybe moving forward, they can perhaps think of, you know, retaining a few of these bowlers. Ghazanfar in particular, Bumrah, they'll obviously retain. And Bosch is a question mark. But Bosch is a good old ball bowler, right? So then they'll have to just pick up another new ball bowler who can perhaps be used with Bumrah and Hardik. It doesn't look all too bad or all too grim in that respect, preparing for the next season. But is it a mega auction? That I don't know.
It isn't. It's not. It unfortunately isn't.
Yeah.
You have to figure that out. Yeah, just to add to what you said about their bowling, I do agree right now, as things stand, almost ironically considering the star-studded batting lineup that they possess, it's their bowling that's probably looking in much better shape. And I stand corrected on the highest wicket-taker, but Corbin is the second highest wicket-taker. It's Allah Ghazanfar, who is the highest wicket-taker, as things stand at 14, of course. And he's had a great season for them. He's been a consistent performer for them across phases. He's been using the power play in the middle over, sometimes even at the death. And he's actually come out on top multiple times. So good on him. And a much needed gun spinner for MI, because that's one thing that they've been lacking for the last 5-6 years. They've gone to Piyush Chawla, Rahul Chahar, Mayank Markandey. They've tried a bunch of different options. None of them really worked out. So Allah Ghazanfar definitely provides that bank along with someone like a Jasprit Bumrah. If they can bring in a solid new ball option to pair with Bumrah, and how do they look at Hardik Pandya? That's another name now they'll have to really think deep about.
Yeah, I mean, he might not even be there next season, but he had a decent bowling day. I mean, none for 13 and 2 overs isn't bad. Bad batting day. He was, what, 26 of 27? So it was another really poor knock. So they probably don't retain Hardik, actually. I completely forgot about that situation. But Allah Mohammad Ghazanfar, their best bowler, 1 for 25 today. And Corbin Bosch, their second best in terms of wickets and 3 for 30 for him. And he was also their best batter. So there is some hope over there, but it's an aging team. And they're going to have to do a lot of rethinks, you know, moving forward, trying to build a new core and everything. I mean, Rohit's past his prime as well. Sky's probably done. And dare I say, you know, he might smash everyone in the next IPL season, but it surely seems like he's done. But it's Mumbai Indians. They'll find a way to buy expensive players, right? Like, they're good at that. They definitely have the means to do that. And I mean, good win for KKR, even if it came really late. And that's probably more to do with us because we wanted an early night. I'll just ask you one more thing before we end this show. Three teams in practicality vying for the number four spot. Rajasthan Royals, KKR, Punjab. I think it's going to be really hard for Delhi and Chennai. They have a lot of things that need to go their way for them to make it. So tell me then, who does KKR, you said KKR play DC?
Yeah, that's right.
So KKR play Delhi, Punjab play RCB, so tough work over there.
I think Punjab play Lucknow, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, Punjab play LSG? Okay, that's a bit of a relief then for them. But they're a fucking good team, so you never know what happens over there.
Exactly.
And
who do
Rajasthan play?
They play Mumbai.
Oof, so no one's playing RCB then. Sunrisers is playing RCB, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, so that's smooth sailing then. All three teams will back themselves to win. And if Rajasthan wins, then that's game over. The top four will be decided. I kind of want that to happen because of Vaibhav, but I also don't want that to happen because I want less dead rubbers. So let us know in the comment section who you think will qualify alongside Gujarat, Sunrisers and RCB. What about you, Akshay?
I do think RR in all likelihood will make it to the playoffs because they're the only team who have matters in their control, like you said. But I low-key want Punjab to somehow sneak through because I still want to see a new winner. If not anything else, I just need a new winner because IPL needs a new winner once again. I know RCB won last season, but please, I'm all for new winner. So yeah, let's see how that plays out.
I'll stick with RR just because I'm selfish. I want Vaibhav to break Chris Gayle's record. And I think he might even do it in the remainder of the group games that they have, which is just one. But if he somehow makes it to the playoffs, then surely Rajasthan, I mean, you know, two games for Vaibhav Suryavanshi, even if he doesn't do well, he probably scores seven sixes, right? Like, that's where we're at this point. He's scoring sixes off rip snorter of bumpers, uppercuts for fun. It's great viewing. And he's the orange cap holder as well. Bhuvi still has the purple cap, right?
That's right, yes.
All right, then. That'll be it from myself and Akshay. It's been a marathon live session today. First the watch-along, then the rain, then the watch-along again, and now this live show. So thank you so much, Akshay, for joining me for this one because otherwise I would have to go solo. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all of you who have stayed with us for over 5 hours now on these live sessions. All of our viewers and listeners, a massive round of applause for all of you. We will be back tomorrow once again for another watch-along and another post-game show. Till then, enjoy yourselves. And of course, don't forget to follow Combox everywhere. Like, share and subscribe. And yep, we'll see you tomorrow for the watch-along and the post-game show after that. But till then, enjoy yourselves. Have a good one. Take care and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.